Well, welcome everyone this evening. Again, we have a wonderful opportunity set before us to not only worship and praise God, but to learn from Him and to open our lives that He conforms us more and more into the image of Jesus. But let us commit our time together into His precious hands. Heavenly Father, tonight we come in and through the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, we thank you for our assembling together tonight. Thank you, Father, that you have made it possible, and that, Lord, you have placed that heart for more of you. And Lord, you lovingly and graciously provide for that. And Lord, we desire tonight that Jesus will be glorified and lifted up, that, Father, we may learn yet more of you tonight, that we may be changed people the time we have been in presence. Lord, we thank you for the precious Holy Spirit who guides and leads and anoints. For, Lord, without him we would not be taught, we would be just in darkness. And so, Father, I thank you for this meeting. I confess the precious blood of Christ over the meeting, over the room, and all the saints who come in, and Father, others maybe who are wandering around in different rooms. Lord, I pray that you would draw them by your Spirit. Because, Lord, we're told the hearing, reading that word, and lives are changed, Father, through the word that is living. So, Lord, we thank you for that precious seed that will be sown into hearts prepared tonight, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Praise God. Well, this evening I want to encourage you with faith. And tonight I'm calling our teaching, for those of you who take notes and for those who write out on the internet. The title for this tonight is, Do We Know He Hears Us? Do we know he hears us? And I'm going to base this teaching tonight on something familiar that we know in 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 to 15. Of 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 to 15. And I want to just read this out to you. And I want to open this up because here is a very encouraging but important passage in God's Word based on how we ask God, how we come before Him. And so it says here, now this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of Him. And then he goes on about asking without sin in your life and various things like that. But they're the two verses that I want us primarily to look at tonight. This wonderful epistle that John has written in his older age, having walked with God a number of years, is all about God is light and God is love. And this epistle is all about enjoying this wonderful fellowship that we have with Almighty God that is based on light and on love. And that's ultimately what our fellowship with the Lord is all about. And here he's desiring desperately that others in the churches will enjoy this same fellowship, this God of light, this God of love. And so he encourages the saints with this epistle, and we pick up this encouragement right through the ages, because the Word of God doesn't change, that it's still the same for us, that as God is light, so we're to walk in the light. As God is love, so we are to walk in that love, that unconditional love. And so we need to remember that tonight in looking about here in 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 and 15. And he says here that I want to just start in verse 15, and then we should go back into verse 14. And he says, and if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. And that's really what I'm basing this teaching tonight, is actually on verse 15. But we need verse 14 also to understand this. And so he opens up, and if we know, and he uses this word if. And so he's really throwing it over to the believer. The same as God throws it over to us. And he says the same thing tonight. Do you know that I hear you? Do you know that when you bring your petitions before me, do you actually know that I have heard you? Now, that might seem a little elementary and a little simple, but it's actually a very profound statement. Because God is actually putting the ball over into our court and actually saying, do you know that I have actually heard you? Or are you assuming? And that's a good question. It's a good question sometimes to ask the Lord when we come into his presence. Is there an obstacle? Is there something that's hindering? Because if you don't hear me, therefore there's no point in my praying or asking or bringing my petitions. Now, that might seem elementary, but it's something that we can all of us so look over, dismiss, or take it for granted. Because I already said that John is speaking about God is here to walk in that light. This whole epistle is about God who is light, God who is love, that we're to walk in that love, that unconditional love. These are all the requirements that God expects of us in light of him hearing us. So if we know that he has heard us, then we begin to get an understanding of what he's saying. Because he says, if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know, or then we know, that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. So if we know that he has heard us, and so we need to know whether he has heard us. And like everything that God does, it's based on revelation. And that revelation and illumination that we have in the Word of God gives us the understanding, the wisdom, the knowledge, the understanding that we can learn from that. It has to be imparted to us. Everything has to be imparted to us from the throne of grace, else we don't know. We are blind at that point. And so all the promises of God, which we appropriate by faith, has to be based on divine revelation that is given graciously to us in order that we might know and understand. We don't simply approach the Word of God, reading it simply intellectually, carnally, and in the flesh. Many do it that way. Many religious people do it that way, but are no nearer to Christ. It is Christ who draws us to him. He first loved us. It is Christ that has to save us from the foundation of the world. So everything is imparted to us by the love and grace and mercy of God. And so when we begin to understand that God is love, God is light, these are all descriptions that tell us about seeing, about knowing, about understanding, because the whole epistle of John, you find that word knowing, to know, knowing, coming up all the time right through this whole epistle. And I just want to say in passing quickly that the word that is used here to know is a knowing that comes experientially through the work of the Holy Spirit. The apostle here confidently uses this word to know because he walked, he saw his Lord and Savior Jesus. He was an eyewitness. He knew from experience. What he's writing here is out of experience. So he knows. He saw him crucified. He saw him risen. He saw him ascend into heaven. So he is a witness of who is light, who is love. And so he is imparting to us in this epistle that in your asking God, God is going to impart to us a knowing experientially that God has heard us. And that is absolutely important for us to remember this in light of our faith and our asking and believing on the basis of the promises of God. And this understanding means to consider, to recognize. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. They recognize, they hear the great shepherd's voice. God's people will respond to the anointing, to the Holy Spirit, where God is speaking. They respond to that. And the reason that they respond, because they are experiencing God in their life. And so what the Holy Spirit imparts to us confirms, quickens that experience that we are having and will continue to have. That's how you discern truth. That is how you test the spirits of 1 John 4. That is where we have true unity and fellowship based on our experience of the new birth and the love of God shed abroad in our hearts and so on. That is the basis of fellowship, that Greek word koinonia, unity, oneness of the Spirit. So he says that we have an assurance of this. And back in, now having said that, now we go back into verse 14. And here in verse 14 he says, now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Now, this word confidence means a persuasion. It also means an assurance, and this is where we get the understanding or the word, the meaning of boldness. So that we have this boldness that comes from the Word of God, which we read, which we take into our hearts, but this boldness and assurance comes because it's ministered to us by the Holy Spirit. We are recognizing it. It is giving us that assurance. It's persuading us, influencing us. What we're hearing, that boldness, comes by experience, walking with the Lord. Knowing that God is love. Knowing that he is light. And that we are to walk in that light. So we have that experience of God and his ways. And he ministers says this to us as we grow and mature in the faith. And all of this is so that we can start to ask by faith, having that assurance and confidence and knowing that God has heard. That's why I'm calling this teaching tonight, Do We Know He Hears Us? Because you should never ever step out in faith or stand upon the promises of God unless you know in your heart that He has heard you. And that is ministered to you by the Holy Spirit. It is not just simply an idea, or it's not just simply doing it because you've heard some teachings about faith and believing and claiming the promises of God. It goes much further and deeper than that. A minister like myself tonight cannot teach you that experience. That experience can only come in your life that is consecrated before God, walking in a relationship with Him, walking in that light and that love. And so that anything that I will be saying by the Holy Spirit is confirming to you your experience and what you are receiving from God, which is all to encourage you, to give you a confidence, a boldness, a standing before God, so that you can come and ask of Him, knowing that your petitions are met. This is very important, brothers and sisters, for us to grasp this, because we walk by faith and not by sight. And a lot in our circles over the years have missed it badly, because they have not really known in their hearts that God heard them first. And that is the key to this. It's knowing that God has heard me first as I have brought my petition before. And if I am not sure that God has heard me, then you do not step out in faith. You do not move, but wait upon God. Wait in His presence. Because sometimes for you to know that God has heard you, He may not just speak to you straight away. This is why our whole walk, our consecration, is a waiting on God day by day. And it's in that fellowship and that waiting with God that He confirms these things to us, that gives us that boldness and that assurance, you see. And this is vital to a walk of faith. Jesus, He walked that walk. He many times revealed that the Father heard Him. I'm reminded when He raised Lazarus from the dead, all He did was look up and said, Father, I thank You that You have heard me. Now, He could confidently say that because He heard what the Father was saying about Lazarus. And He heard because He had that confidence, that boldness in His flesh before Almighty God. He could therefore say to Lazarus, Lazarus, come forth. Because He had heard what the Father had said, His will. And we need to understand this, brothers and sisters, if we want to go on now in this deeper walk, and we want to start to see the greater works coming, healings, deliverances, yes, even the raising from the dead. You have to know that God has heard us first, as you stand on very thin ice otherwise. And this is why sadly a lot goes wrong in our circles, even in churches, and how the devil uses it. How he uses it. And so this boldness then, this confidence, we also get from this the idea of speaking, to speak out, to speak plainly. And this confidence, this boldness, reveals no fear whatsoever. Because I've said many, many times, fear is the number one weapon that Satan uses. And if there are traces of fear and unbelief, then you do not have that boldness and confidence in God's presence. Therefore, you will never be sure whether he's heard you or not. And that is why God, in his mercy, as we walk in that light, as he is light, he's working that deliverance through the word of God. And one of the things that he's rooting out of us is that fear. That fear which the enemy tries to oppress and hold us with. There is no fear in the perfect love of God. And that's what this whole epistle is about. It's about the light of God and the love of God. And as you experience the love of God in your life, so it casts out that fear that tries to hinder and oppress and hold us. What for? So that your prayers can be answered and that God can be glorified. Many times our prayers are not answered because there's that fear within us that's hindering. And so if we stay with it, God is going to deliver us from it. Hallelujah. I want us to turn to other scriptures to get this really clearly understood. Also, in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 28, 1 John chapter 2 and verse 28, here it comes again. It's right through this whole epistle all the time. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he appears, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. Here it is, this word again, this confidence. There's no fear. There's a boldness. We have attained this boldness, this confidence, by persuasion, by assurance, by experience, by walking in the love of God and in the light of God. That's how it's ministered to us, so that we know him. We know when Jesus is around. We know when he is present. We know when he's speaking. We know what he's saying. That is what he wants us to walk by and experience. But sadly, there are so many who profess Christ's name who are never sure. They're confused. They're all the while running to man or running to the eldership and trying to find out what God's saying and so on. That's not what God has saved us for. He saved us for that relationship, so that the deeper life which we teach, that going through that doorway into a deeper walk with God, means that we mature and grow up as sons, that you have that standing and relationship with him that comes by a knowing, by an experience with God. And all of that is going to work that boldness and confidence that you may stand before him. This is what the apostle was writing for the early Christians, that they might experience that. Let's look at some other scriptures in this. In the same epistle, in chapter 3, verse 21. In chapter 3, verse 21, he says, "Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence toward God." Here's another sign. If your heart is not condemning you, then you have that standing before Almighty God, a confidence. And so that you can ask and have that knowing that God has heard you because of your standing that you have before him. Then in chapter 4 and verse 17, chapter 4 and verse 17, he says, "Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world." So it says here, he brings out, as love has been perfected. So our love is being worked upon, perfected. That's why God requires from us a degree of perfection in this life. It's a perfection that is based on attitude and motive. A pure heart. That is what God is looking for. Be perfect even as your heavenly Father is perfect. Now, we know that that is not sinless perfection. That can only be in glory. But there is a perfection of attitude and heart and motive that God requires and looks for. And so we see from that, he says to the early church, you have been perfected in that. For what purpose? So that in the day of judgment, you can stand confidently and not be condemned with the world. And so ultimately, that is what God's doing with you and I. And how much more now we're nearer to the end times and the soon coming of the Lord. So how important it is to walk in that light as he is light. You see, sin and unbelief will always interfere with this standing. And that is why God wants us to be in faith and to walk by faith. Because without it, we're told, you cannot please God. And so many who sadly compromise in faith today are not really having that confidence and that stand before God. That's why they don't really know that God has heard them. And so they think God has heard them. And they start to go off in their ministry, start to lay hands on the sick and try to heal or raise the dead and whatever, and nothing happens. And the reason nothing happens is because God has not confirmed to them. God has not revealed his presence is there to them. The devil uses it. Jesus knew many times in his ministry that the presence and power of God was there to heal. How did he know that? Because it came by experience. It came by his relationship with his Father. Do we think it's any different for us? No way. In fact, how much more? So that is why God deals with this unbelief in our lives, because unbelief, a lack of faith, is really just unconfessed sin. And this unconfessed sin in God's presence is the hindrance. It's the hindrance in your prayer life and your prayers being answered. And that is why the Apostle John brought out in 1 John chapter 2, verses 1 to 2, which you all know very well, he's put that there for a reason. And I want to read this now. In 1 John chapter 2, verses 1 to 2. So that none of us tonight are without excuse. That we can say, oh, well, you don't know my life, and you don't know my background, and what I've come out from, and so on. None of us can say that. When you read this, what God has written here, and he says, my little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the whole world. Thank God that we have those two verses in this great epistle. You see, he's already spoken about walking in the light, as God is light. He's already spoken about that fellowship. And so for us to maintain that, to have that boldness, to know that God has heard us, sin has to be dealt with. And this is where we get the idea of the efficacy of Christ's sacrifice that keeps us restored in fellowship with the Father. So Christ, having given up his life as a ransom, now who's seated at the right hand of the Father, the great intercessor, interceding for us, we get the understanding of the efficacy of Christ, his sacrifice, what he did, restores us and keeps us in the presence of Almighty God. Why is it like that? Well, God knows that all the while he leaves us still in this world we're sooner or later going to sin because of the world, the way it is, our weakness. We're still in the flesh. So he has even provided for us as sojourners in this world, so that we can still maintain and have that right standing and boldness in the presence of Almighty God, so that we know that he has heard our prayers and petitions. I just want to, in passing, also read with that John 13 and verse 10, because this is also important for us to understand. In John 13, the Gospel of John, this is chapter 13 and verses 1 and verse 10. 13 and verse 10. And Jesus said to him, "He who is bathed needs only to wash his feet, but that is completely clean. And you are clean, but not all of you." Now here, he was teaching them about being cleaned, about being washed. And during this time before his betrayal, during the time of supper, we know the story here. He washes the disciples' feet. Now, of course, the slight confusion in that to them is that all of that was done before you entered the home, or as you entered the home, and certainly before you'd have supper. So why is he doing a custom that was normally done when you entered a house? Why was he now doing it during a time of supper? Well, he was teaching them something, the same as God is going to teach us something tonight. He was not only teaching that he was a servant to them, ministering to them, but he was also teaching something deeper, more profound. Because verse 10 of John 13 tells us so. And what he was implying here, but that by the washing of their feet, was that God, through Christ, was going to keep them clean and washed. It's the idea to bathe. This was what he was revealing, because he also said there, not all of you are clean. Who was he referring to? Well, Judas, who was to betray him. His feet, but he was not clean. Requires the efficacy of Christ's sacrifice to keep us clean, to keep us in the presence of Almighty God. And so that is what Christ was actually teaching the apostles here. Because Peter was on about, well, wash me, wash all of me, my whole body. And what he was showing was that he didn't need to wash his whole body, because actually the whole body, spiritually speaking, was clean. And he was to be the rock on which God was going to build his ecclesia, his called out assembly. So you don't need to be washed whole and completely. That is part of the sign that you do when you go down in the waters of baptism in the name of Jesus Christ and come up a new creation. But the bathing or the washing of the feet is the confessing of sin, which I've spoken about back in 1 John 2, verses 1 to 2. If anyone has sinned, then we have an advocate with the Father. That is the type of cleaning, keeping our feet clean. Because the feet, obviously, are the vehicle in which we walk by them. And, of course, particularly out in those, so the custom was that you wash the feet before you went into the house and you had a meal and so forth. That was customary. Sometimes most of us, we go into our houses, we take our shoes off and put slippers on. It's a type, because we don't want to bring more dirt into the house. And so that is what Christ does for us. He keeps us clean. We are now clean. We're cleansed. Our sins are forgiven, cast away as far as the east is to the west. But in our state, still in this life, still in our flesh, we still need to be kept clean. And so we're kept clean through the efficacy of the blood of Christ that's ever continuing and flowing, and also through the word of God which washes us, that keeps us in fellowship, keeps us under the fivefold ministry so that we can mature and grow and become equipped for ministry. All of this is preserving and keeping us and cleansing us. And that if we do sin, then we get it right before God. That is the idea, the understanding. So we need to keep in this daily fellowship with the Father. This is absolutely important. If you want this boldness, this confidence to stand before Almighty God and to know that when you pray, to know that He has heard your prayers. I want us, in conclusion with this, to go back to the epistle in 1 John chapter 1, and I want to read now verses 1 to 10 that reveals to us that we're to walk in this light as He is light, to maintain and keep this fellowship with the Lord, which is absolutely paramount if we're to mature and go on with Him. In 1 John chapter 1, verses 1 to 10. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled concerning the word of life. There the apostle speaking out his experience that he's had with the Lord Jesus Christ. The life was manifest that we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us. That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Notice that the apostle, under that authority, says to have fellowship with us, because by having fellowship with us, you have fellowship with the Father. And that is why it is so important that we pray for the fivefold ministry to be restored to the body of Christ, because that ministry and anointing that has fellowship with the Father also encourages the saints to have fellowship not only with them, but with the Father also. You can't separate any of this. Because that fellowship that we have with each other and with the Father is your knowing that God has heard your prayers, your petitions. It's vital. Little wonder we can see why the devil tries to destroy, keep the body of Christ separated, divided. Because he doesn't want our prayers being answered. But it goes on. And these things we write to you, that your joy may be full. This is the message which we have heard from him, and declare to you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. In other words, what it says here, what I've been saying right through this, you don't practice it because you're not experiencing it. You may be saying the right things. You might even be going through the right motions. You may be attending the meetings, but you can still be walking in darkness. That is the point, because God is light. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. This is why I always say our fellowship, our coming together in unity and oneness deals with sin. It keeps us in fellowship. It keeps us in the light as he is light. That is why you get these Christians that say, oh, I can follow the Lord, but I don't have to go to church. It's not scriptural. To fellowship together, where two or three are gathered together, the Lord says, there am I. That is the church. That is the called out assembly unto him. That is vital for us, for our maturity, our development, but above all, that deals with sin, weaknesses, so that it keeps us in the light as he is the light. For what purpose? That God may be glorified in your prayers that you pray, knowing that you have that confidence that he has heard you. This is absolutely vital in our unity and oneness and fellowship. You can see why the enemy tries to divide the body of Christ. And so many Christians are blinded to this. Yet our eyes are being opened, brothers and sisters. And we're going to value more and more our fellowship, our coming together. We're going to value this in this hour that we're living now. Because our liberty, our freedom is being eroded. The powers of darkness are becoming rife. We're seeing the falling away now of this last day in every way and form. And I don't have to tell you that. And so this light that we have, that we participate in, we share with, is a light that is seen and will be seen. And that's why the devil tries to put it out, but he never will, by the grace and mercy of God. And so what I've read with you to you there in verses 1 to 10, this deals with the pollution that we pick up on our daily journey. And we do. That is why God has left us in the world as sojourners in his infinite wisdom. Now, for him to leave us still in this world, as he left the apostles, he knows that our everyday journey in this life, we can get polluted. All of us who've got cars, we know that our cars soon get dirty, and so they have to be washed and kept clean. It's the same with our houses. Houses have to be kept clean. They can become dirty and dusty and so forth. Same with our gardens. We have to do gardening because otherwise all those weeds take over. This is what happened in the fall when Adam fell. So God knows those conditions. And so he says in those very conditions, those fallen conditions, he can save us and keep us in fellowship with him by cleansing us, keeping us clean, washed by the blood of Christ, so that we can walk in the light as he is, you see. This is absolutely important for us to understand. Things have to be renewed. They wear out. So God has to renew and keep us by renewing our youth like the eagles, because he knows we're going to wear out. And so, brothers and sisters, because the law of life in Christ Jesus now resides in us, he slowed down that aging within us to preserve and keep us so that we can be blessed. We can be blessed like we are here tonight. Hallelujah. You see, sin has defiled everything, even the earth, even the stars, even the heavens. None of them are clean before God. That's what the word of God says. And yet God says, I will keep a holy remnant unto myself under those conditions. Now that has to be God, brothers and sisters, when everything is not clean in his sight, is fallen. So for God to preserve and keep us cleansed, clean, that has to be Almighty God. And that's why we give him all the praise and all the glory. And that is why he says, you daily come before me in fellowship. Come together as brothers and sisters, so that the word of God washes you down, so that you can be cleansed by the blood of Christ, so that all of this can keep us in fellowship, in unity and oneness. all of which that you might know that the God goes to, that your prayers may be answered for God to glorify his name. And I leave you again with this, brothers and sisters, so that we don't forget this. Now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. So let the Holy Spirit bring you and all of us to that place where you have that confidence that you know he has heard you when you make your petition before him, because your petitions that come before him come because they're inspired and led by the word of God which you're learning. We don't pray outside of God's will, but as we learn the will of God, so that is to encourage us, to inspire us, to come before him and to know that he has heard us, which gives us that boldness, that assurance, that confidence. And that's why, of course, it says in James chapter 1 that a mustard seed of faith is all that's needed. But those that waver are like the wave of the sea tossed to and fro. What is that wavering? What is that wavering actually saying? It's actually saying there's sin there. There's fear there. There's unbelief there. And so God in his mercy, when he makes the sea turbulent, he's actually trying to get our attention, take any notice of it, even though we're shaking, we're wavering. That is telling you that you're not in faith. Now, is it the end of the world that God is telling you you're not in faith? Why, no, it's not. The reason he's telling you not, you're not in faith, so that you can come to that place to be in faith. That is our Heavenly Father. That is his love to us. It's not all finished if you found yourself wavering and not really in the faith that you thought you were. You're wavering because God is trying to get your attention. I mean, if you're in a sea where the wind is turbulent and the waves are tossing you to and fro, that's telling you something. That's telling you something to believe God. It's telling you maybe to get out of that area or to do whatever is needed to do when you're on a boat. God tells us more than we realize. It's just we're not always sensitive, humble, waiting on him to hear what he's saying. So that as we learn to hear these things, what he's saying, and if we know that he hears us, then we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. God wants you to know that he has heard you. He wants you to know that. But do we know that he hears us? And that is the question. Only you, brothers and sisters, can answer that one. Nobody else can answer that. I don't think it is wrong to actually get on your knees before God and say, Lord, have you heard me? Am I deceiving myself? Is my prayers going no higher than the ceiling? I want to know so that I get this right. And if there's sin there, I can confess it. Because this is important. It's not about me, it's about you. It's about your glory. I don't think God would turn anyone away who seeks him like that. In fact, that is what he's calling and wanting and waiting for. So that you know God has heard you. And that will be your rest. That will be your confidence, your boldness. Hallelujah. Father, tonight we thank you. We thank you again, Father, for the deliverance in your word, the repentance, the forgiveness that is in your word. Lord, we praise you, Father, that you have sown seed tonight to glorify your name. Lord, I thank you that you want us to know that you hear our prayers. It's important that that faith is confirmed by its boldness, its confidence, its assurance. These are not feelings, they're not just confessions, they're experiences with you. And you have shown us that we are to experience you. That is what is so important, Father. I pray that all my brothers and sisters will experience you in this way. Where there may be confusion, Father, you will bring peace. Where maybe some have missed it, thought they were in faith, Father, it might be all undone so that they can start again and get it right before you. Thank you, Father, you never give up on us. You're ever with us, encouraging us, leading us forward. I thank you tonight, Father, for our assembling together. I thank you for the true unity and oneness that you are building and putting within our hearts. Thank you, Father, that we truly stand upon the true rock of Jesus Christ, that we are your called out people, your peculiar treasure set apart unto you, Lord. Thank you, Father, tonight that flesh and blood cannot reveal this. This can only come by the Spirit of the living God, that our eyes might be open, that we might walk in that light as you are light. Let our love and faith always work together. Where there's faith, there is love. And where there's love, there is faith. Because love never gives up, believes all things, hopes all things. And let that love, your love, be shed abroad in our hearts, one toward each other. Lord, I pray your blessing, your light will shine upon us. Your preserve and keep are going out and are coming in. And you will be with us always in this life till we come home to you in glory. For we ask this in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen, amen. Hallelujah.